Praise the Lord. Let's honor Jesus. Give him a great big hand clap tonight. Because he's worthy. Hallelujah. He deserves it. He's a mighty good God. Hallelujah. Thank you. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. When I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. And I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly tore through the heat and the cold. And I seek no reward in this world below. 'Cause payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. And he holds me secure in his love so divine. I'm happy his servant to be. In bondage, Jesus, forever I'll stay. My soul doesn't want to be free. Oh, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly tore through the heat and the cold. And I seek no reward in this world below. 'Cause my payday will come, whoa, yes, when the pearly gates unfold. And I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly tore through the heat and the cold. And I seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. But my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we serve him tonight because we want to. Brother Dan Dean wrote a song a number of years ago that said, I choose to be a Christian. Amen. Ain't nobody making me do this. I choose to do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, if this is bondage, I don't want to be free. I've heard folks call this bondage. They say, oh, you folks, y'all live in bondage. Well, if that's what this is, I don't want to be free from it. This is the greatest bondage I've ever experienced in my whole life. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Let's stand together. Remember, tomorrow night is BC3. If you haven't been to Brownback Bible School, you need to come to Brownback Bible School. Amen. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be learning who Jesus is. Amen. And the practicality of the Christian life. Amen. All right. Upper room youth and kids can. Y'all can be dismissed to your classes. Amen. And we are going to be studying tonight from the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anybody know what that chapter's about? Amen. That's about the more excellent way. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm not going to take time to read all these verses. Let me just read verse number 4. A little bit here, if you would. Said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vanteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Verse 13, but now abide faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. I knew a family one time. The grandmother's name was Faith. Her daughter's name was Hope. And the granddaughter's name was Charity. And Charity's favorite verse was, the greatest of these is charity. Amen. I can see why, huh? Amen. I find it interesting tonight the location of these words. Chapter 12 of the book of Corinthians is a book that talks about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 14 goes on into more detail about the regulation and the use of those gifts. But smack in the middle of those is a very important chapter on the motivation for those gifts. The motivation for those gifts. It's important. I've heard a few folks in my life get all excited and even boastful about the fact of all the gifts they had. And by their boastfulness, they were actually eliminating the, or they were violating, I should say, the 13th chapter. Because that's the motivation for the gifts. Everything in the Christian life should be motivated by love. By love. Everything we do, that's what it should be motivated by. Of course, the word in the Old King James Version as translated charity here, but we know that that word from the Greek, of course, being agape, which is the God kind of love, and in our more English or later English translations, and accurately, it would just simply be called love. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. We had a banquet last night. I thank all of you that were able to be with us. Had a good time. Delicious meal. Brother Neil's a great cook. Amen. Especially when it's at Old West. Amen. And so we had a good time. And thank you for helping us get all that together. But I want to talk tonight about a more excellent way. That's what Paul says here, beginning at the beginning of this chapter. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And all of us know today that speaking in tongues is it's a work of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that we speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives us utterance. So it literally, the words come from the Holy Ghost. And so it is a supernatural gift, speaking in tongues. It's a vital and a valid gift. The Apostle Paul said in the 14th chapter, he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. And he also said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul is by no means belittling tongues here. This is a very, very valid speaking in tongues. He said, but have not charity. You see, again, that's the motivation of it. Everything in the Christian life needs to be motivated by love. He said, I've become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And you talk about something that'll get on your nerves. You ever heard somebody that was trying to learn how to play the horn? You got to be tough. Hey, praise the Lord. It's kind of like that years ago they talked about a guy that was learning to play the guitar, and he just played one note. That's all he ever played. But he played it with enthusiasm. He really did. And they asked him about it. They said, all those other guys, you know, they move their fingers up and down the fretboard. He said, why don't you do that? He said, well, they're just looking for it. I got it. So he found it, whatever it was, and everybody else. But it's a grating sound. And so, but Paul says that without love, motivated by love, then really tongues can be just a grating sound. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he said, I'm nothing. Now, we admire people that have a gift of prophecy that can foretell and forthtell the things of God. That's a wonderful gift, understanding of the mysteries of God. We're so very thankful for all of those things. And people that are just smart, have knowledge. We admire that. And especially people have faith and through faith do great works for God. He said, but if you can do all of that and you don't have faith, He said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Now, we hear a lot about these things today. And I've watched people get all carried away with people that had a lot of faith, and there seemed to be a lot of miracles wrought in their ministry. Amen. But you look for one fruit in their life, and if that's missing, you be careful. Doesn't matter how knowledgeable they are. Doesn't matter how great a prophet they are, how great a scholar they are, you look for that one characteristic. Paul said there's one thing that validates their spirituality, and that is if they have the love of God. If they don't have that, if it's about arrogance and it's about pride and it's about self, doesn't matter what they can do, what they can say, or who they are. Amen. You be careful. Look for the love. And if love is there, then it has a proper motive. And then he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There's more than one reason for people to give things away. There are people that give with one hand and take away with another. Amen. That's what they say. They say the Lord giveth and Uncle Sam taketh away. It seems that way sometimes. Amen. But we see that. But a person that gives without a true motive, simply because they love, and they love to give, and they love the object that they're given to and given for. There are some people that give just to make a name for themselves. They just want people to know how good they are. But to see, the motive is self. And that's wrong. The motive in giving must be because you love. Amen. Even in the church, isn't that right? Amen. I heard about a guy one time, and they were taking up the offering, and he never gave anything, so... And he got a little, I don't know, ornery, I guess. I don't know what got into him. But the guy, when it's time to take the offering, he's just bowed his head. And he'd keep his head bowed until the usher went by, and then he'd lift his head up. And so he stood there, and the usher watched him bow his head, and he stood there. The guy opened his eyes, and he looked over, and he's still there, and he closed his head. Bowed his head once again. And then he looked again, and he's still there, and he bowed his head. And after the third time, the guy was still standing there. He'd reached in his pocket, and he got out a $10 bill, and he threw it in the offering, and he got up, and he stomped out of the church. Well, that wasn't the right motive. He should have kept his $10. Or maybe the man shouldn't have been so honest. But anyway, the motive was wrong. Amen. What we do, we must do out of love. Love for God. Love for the cause. Love for the kingdom. Love for one another. Amen. And then, so he said, even if I give my body to be burned, well, that's a big sacrifice, isn't it? But you know, if you give your body to be burned just so people can see how dedicated and how spiritual you are, and you are the motive and you are the center of it all, then you've wasted a good burning and a good body. Because there's no reward for that. Even if you give your life, but if you give it for the wrong reason, there's no motive, there's no reward for that. But if like Jesus said that he said that for God so loved the world that he gave, you see, the motive was love. That's why he gave. And when he talked about loving your brother enough to lay down your life, you see, the motive is not selfishness, but it's love. Amen. This is not sloppy agape kind of stuff. This is some kind of a saccharine, superficial kind of love. This is demanding stuff here. Some people, when you talk about the love of God and you talk about love, they just they think, oh, that's, you know, that's the soft stuff. But you just hang on a minute and let's see how soft it gets. Verse number 4, he said it again. He said, charity or love suffereth long. You know what? If you love people, you'll put up with a whole lot. I remember a story Brother Urshan told about a man in his church. He was mentally challenged, and he didn't always take a bath as regular as he ought to. And he'd come to church, he's kind of sloppy, but he would stand down on the street corner selling pencils and paper. And one day he was down there, and he saw Brother Urshan coming, and Brother Urshan was with one of the prominent pastors in the city of another organization. And when he saw Brother Urshan, he hollered. He just got so excited. He said, "Brother Urshan, Brother Urshan!" And he waving his hand, and he's sloppy looking, his t-shirt's up over his belly button, and he's so excited to see his pastor. And Brother Urshan waves at him and says, "Hello, Jerry. How are you?" And they walked a few steps, and the pastor said, "That man go to your church?" He said, "He sure does." He said, "Why do you let him go?" He said, "You won't let him go to yours." Woo! You think that stung a little bit? I hope so. So that's the kind of love I'm talking about. It just puts up with some things. It doesn't hurt us to put up with some things. I've had people a few times, come and say, "Brother Grissom, you need to take care of that." If I was a pastor, I'd tell you, I'd take care of that. Well, I will too. But I'm putting up with you, aren't I? So if you really are, you just put up with some things sometimes. Amen. And let me tell you something else Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us a lesson. He said there was somebody that came, a thief came and planted tares among the wheat. And the angel said, "Well, let's pull up all the tares." He said, "Uh-uh, don't do that." He said, "Because when you pull up the tares, you're going to pull up the wheat also." So sometimes you just got to endure some tares. Because if you pull it up, you're going to pull up some wheat. So you see, there's a motivation for certain things. And so sometimes you just allow some things to go along a little while because you understand that if this happens, then that can happen. And I'd rather put up with a tear than lose some good wheat. I'd rather endure some things than hurt a precious saint of God. And so sometimes you just put up with a little something. Amen. Love makes you do that. Anybody got anybody in your family like that you just kind of put up with? Yeah. Why do you do it? Because you love them. Amen. Anybody ever done that for you? Amen. Now, I told you this is sissy stuff, isn't it? But and we're just getting started. Amen. So he said, charity suffers long. It puts up with a lot of stuff. And I love this. And he said, love is kind. Kind, just being kind. Don't you just like people that are just kind? Amen. People, some people are so gruff and brash and bold and you know, they're not warm and fuzzy. They're cold and prickly. It's gotten like, as we said, trying to hug a porcupine sometimes. And that's a perilous undertaking. Amen. You got to be careful how you hug a porcupine. But it's good to be kind. Christians ought to be kind people. Like I said, Christians ought to be kind people. We just ought to be. It's just a natural thing that we ought to be kind. I think that's one of the great marks of a Christian. And you're talking, in this day and age, people that are kind really stand out. They really do. And then he said that love is, it's not envious. It doesn't envy. Amen. It's not envious of others. It's not covetous. It doesn't see what somebody else has and get all upset because I don't have it. Amen. Have you ever seen people get upset because somebody got something new? Isn't that silly? But then it's the worst kind, because they not only got upset because they don't have it, but they're upset because somebody else does. And that's not based in love. Amen. The Bible said we should rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And sometimes it's a little easier to do the one than it is the other. Amen. And so we're not to be envious of others, not begrudging other people. Amen. But we have to watch that, don't we? We do. In church, we have to be very careful of that. Amen. Somebody might get a position that you wanted. Watch it, Brother Grissom. Yeah. Amen. Somebody comes in, they hadn't been in the church but just a little while, and the pastor allows them to work somewhere that you thought you should have been appointed to. That should have been my job. Hey, I've been around here for years. Well, be careful. Be careful. Amen. Christian love still rejoices and says, well, that's good, that brother. You know, he's kind of new. It's good to get him involved. That was good, Pastor. Thank you. You saw something there. And you see, just to have a little benefit of the doubt and just not allowing that old bitterness to get in your heart and being envious of other people. I've actually known people to lose out with God over stuff like that. I have. I mowed the lawn at that church. I cleaned that church when nobody else would clean it. You would have thought that they would have respected me. Let me do this. Let me do that. Instead, somebody new comes along, they let them do it. What kind of church is that? Well, your motive was wrong, sir. Your motive was wrong. It wasn't about love. It was about you. It wasn't about the kingdom. It was about you. Amen. And so we got to be careful, folks, because love's not envious. It's not envious. And so we're talking about a real kind of love here. He said it's not boastful, or it doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't boast and brag. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faults than others I can see, but woo, praise the Lord, there's none in me. It doesn't have that kind of spirit. Amen. Amen. So, love is not, it's not boastful. It doesn't go around boasting about itself and talking about itself. Jesus taught us this lesson very beautifully. He said, the words that I speak, he said, they're not my words. But what I hear my Father say, that's what I speak. And then he said, the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that is in me, he does the works. And then he said, not my will, but thine be done. So he said, My words are His. My works are His. And my will is His. And if I can give God my words and my will and my works, then I can fulfill this. I'll not be boastful. I'll not be a braggart. Amen. And so He said that love's not boastful. He said love is not proud. And you know, pride is, it's so sneaky. Pride's not as easy to spot as you think. It can sneak up at the weirdest times. And just when you think you've conquered it, it can come up and show itself again. He said it's not puffed up. That means it's not proud. Amen. Jesus taught us that. The Bible said like a sheep before his shearers, he was silent. He opened not his mouth. Didn't say anything. What a lesson that's there. Amen. But we want to defend ourselves. We want to strike out sometimes whenever somebody says something and it hits a little nerve with us. William Carey is called the father of modern missions. William Carey was a missionary to the country of India. He was a great linguist. He translated at least portions of the Bible into 34 different Indian dialects. It's one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, and just totally gave himself to the nation of India. When William Carey went to India in its early stages, he was eating at the house of a man that was very proud and looked down on William Carey and did everything he could to insult him. Before William Carey became a missionary, he was a cobbler. And so the man referred to that and he said, "So, Mr. Carey, I understand that you used to be a shoemaker." And he said, "Oh, no, sir, I was not a shoemaker." He said, "I never made shoes." He said, I was a cobbler, I just repaired shoes. So instead of taking it as an insult, he even dropped himself down a level and said, "Oh, no, don't exalt me to shoemaker. I was just a cobbler." He didn't take it as an insult. He didn't allow himself to stand up and be proud and be boastful. So that was the heart of William Carey. And he was a great missionary because he refused to let pride rule in his heart. So love's never like that. It's never proud. I love this verse. We've referred to it so many times. And I'm sure we shall continue. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see that attitude? There's no pride there. He didn't come to be proud. He, even though he was God, he didn't make that a thing to boast about. He didn't go around boasting about his God, about the Godhead, and about who he was. Instead, he humbled himself, the Bible said, and became a servant, and was obedient even unto death on the cross. So that's what love is. That's what love looks like. Amen. It takes the low road, and it doesn't complain. Amen. Love is, it said, it behaveth not itself unseemly. Another way of saying that is love is not rude. Love is not rude. Amen. Love is not rude. That's a good thing, isn't it? Rudeness is prevalent today. There's a lot of rude people in the world. But love is not rude, and it's not crude, and it's not brutal. Amen. Cherie was probably 2 years old. We were in a restaurant, and she was standing up, looking over the back of the seat, and she was saying, "Hi, hi, hi." And we said, "Cherie, sit down. That's rude." She said, "Hi, rude." She didn't get it. But she really wasn't being rude. She was being friendly. But love's never rude. It's never rude. It never cuts people down or cuts them off. And love's... We got a long ways. I don't know about you, but I got a ways to go when I read about this. When I measure myself by what this book says love is, I've got some work cut out for me. I do good sometimes, but not all the time. I've been rude to people, and I'm sorry, but I have been. And I feel bad when I am, because I know better. I know I'm not supposed to be. I know I'm not supposed to be. So love is, it's never rude. And then he said, love's not selfish. It doesn't seek its own. And another way of saying it is it doesn't demand its own rights. Jesus didn't do that, did he? Don't you know who I am? Ever had anybody pull that one on you? I was in a restaurant some years ago, and there was a well-dressed man there, and he was at the checkout counter, and he was just letting that poor check cashier have it, because told her how bad the service was and how badly he'd been treated, and he was letting her go. And on, he said, "I don't know if you know who I am." And he said, "I'm pastor of such and such church, and if you don't start treating us better, we're just going to go take our business somewhere else." And I was thinking, man, I wish you wouldn't have told her who you was. That makes us all look mad. I mean, but he was selfish. Selfish. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever waited on tables, but if you haven't, you ought to. It'd be a good exercise for you. Amen. Go wait on some people. It's a good thing to do, so you understand what that's like. Amen. And you really set yourself up for some abuse whenever people don't get their way. Amen. Like the guy, when he was confusing, he ordered, he said, I want you to cook me 2 eggs. He said, I want one sunny side up, and I want the other one well done. Well, they did their best. They brought it out. One egg was sunny side up, and the other one was well done. He scowled, and he fumed, and he said, you fixed the wrong one sunny side up. Well, now how do you do that? I don't know, but he did. Some people just like that, aren't they? Well, but some people are like that. They're selfish. You cannot please them, no matter what you do. Just whatever you do, it's going to be wrong. Just mark it down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've seen husbands talk like that to their wives. Well, I felt that one coming. I've heard wives talk like that to their husbands. Amen. Isn't this fun? I mean, I told you it's tough. If you're going to really love somebody, it's not going to be easy. This is not a marshmallow walk here, folks. And if you're really going to love people, and you really, really are going to love them like Jesus loved, you're going to have to buck up and strengthen yourself and grow a backbone, learn how to take some abuse, and shut your mouth. And it's going to be tough. If you're going to love like Jesus did. Amen. Can't be selfish. You can't be selfish. One of my favorite stories is a story about a boy. Not a popular boy. It was Valentine's Day. And he made a Valentine for everybody in his class. And he was so excited that he made a Valentine for everybody. Now his mom understood a little better than he did, was not a popular boy. And she was very concerned that even though he made a Valentine for everybody in his class, that he might not even get one. So when school was over, she had cookies baked and cold milk poured and waiting for him, just in case he had a bad day. And she looked out the window and he watched him coming up the walkway, and he was shaking his head. And as he got close, she could hear what he was saying. And he was saying under his breath, he was saying, "Not one, not one. Not even one, not one, not one, not even one." And her heart was broke. And she opened the door and he looked up and big old smile burst out on his face. And he said, "Mom!" He said, "I didn't forget anybody. Not one, no, not even one." You see, his mind was on giving, not on getting. And that's unselfish. He wasn't worried about what he was going to get. He was worried about whether or not he might forget somebody. Now that's what love really is. That's what love really is. It's not selfish. Love is not easily angered. Huh. Now that probably won't touch anybody here, but I've known a few folks that had a short fuse. Shall we travel on? Love is not provoked. It controls itself. Amen. And, you know, if you've lived very long around Christians, you've actually seen some of this, haven't you? Well, let me hurry on here. That didn't seem to be fitting too well. And then it said, love thinketh no evil. That means, and I love this translation. I think it's from Phillips. He said, love doesn't keep a record of evil or wrong. That doesn't keep a record of evil or wrongs. You know, some people, they can tell you about every time they've ever been wronged in their whole life. Amen. I knew some people one time, I could not write them a letter because they read what I wrote. Then they read what I didn't write. Then they read what they thought I meant. And then they read what I should have meant. And what I left out, and what I should have said, and what I shouldn't have said. And next thing I knew, I was in trouble just for writing a letter. Amen. But they were good at keeping a record of wrongs. They could tell you everything that was wrong with the church, and they could give you the date and the time. Love's not like that. Love wants to make peace. And love wants to get over hurts and over wrongs and get on with life. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus doesn't keep a record of wrongs? That's his love, and that's what we're supposed to do. How many marriages have been very damaged because people bring that stuff up? You get a little argument and you start bringing stuff up from the past. Well, I remember what you said. I remember what you did. Well, just don't bring it up. Let it go. You might remember it, but let it go. Let it go. Bury it. Because it will damage. It'll hurt a relationship. It'll destroy a relationship. And so that's the Bible says that love doesn't, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It just, every day it blots them out and starts the next day with a new page, unblemished and ready to live life. Amen. And so it doesn't begrudge. And then it says love doesn't rejoice in evil. It rejoiceth not in evil or in iniquity. Amen. And in other words, it don't like to hear gossip. Let me say that one more time. It doesn't like gossip. True love doesn't like gossip. When you start talking bad about somebody, love doesn't like that. When you start criticizing your brothers and sisters, love doesn't like that. Love says, don't talk like that. Don't say that about them. Because love doesn't want to hear any evil. Amen. Boy, we've got it easier. Gossips have it easier today than they've ever had it in life. In Bible times, you remember that lady that went to the well at noontime when it was hot, the hottest part of the day? You know why she did that? Because she was the object of the gossip. She didn't go there to get the gossip. She's the one they were gossiping about. So they went in the morning while it was cool and gossiped. And she went at noon when it was hot because she didn't want to hear it, and she knew they'd be talking about her anyway. Gossip's evil. It's evil. Saying bad things about people's evil. And love doesn't like that. Doesn't put up with it. Amen. Love doesn't want to hear it. Amen. So love doesn't want to hear evil things about yourself or about others. It doesn't like any of that. It doesn't like evil things. And then he said that love rejoices in truth. Praise the Lord. Rejoices in truth. So that's not as easy sometimes as it is other times. Amen. And sometimes truth kind of stings, doesn't it? Anybody ever been stung by the truth? Ooh. Amen. But it feels good when it stops hurting. Amen. You say, well, yeah, that's the truth, man. I'm glad I heard it, and I'm glad I heeded, and it's getting better now. Yeah. Amen. But sometimes, you know, the truth stings a little bit. And then he said that love beareth all things. Beareth all things. I mean, it doesn't just, love, it has this triumphant fortitude. It doesn't just bear things, but it stands up strongly and just marches forth as if it's invincible. It bears it with a smile and a song. Amen. That's great love right there, isn't it? You know, love doesn't let everybody see when you're hurting. It doesn't seek sympathy. Amen. And in the face of insult and injury and disappointment, love stands strong beautifully. Amen. And marches forth. Jesus, after being stung pretty badly, taught his people one day. They'd been wanting to make him the king, and then all of a sudden the Bible says they left him. And he turned around to his disciples and he said, will ye also go away? It looks like everybody's going to leave. And I think he was hurting. How great it must have been when Peter said, Lord, to whom could we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. I'm going to stick with you, Jesus. Amen. No matter what anybody else does, I'm sticking with you. Praise the Lord. So love then, it not only endures and bears things, but it does it triumphantly. And then he said, love, it believes all things. In other words, it always trusts. Love looks for the best. Love looks for the best in people. Now, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me, right? Amen. It's easy to find fault in people. The trick is to find the best. Not that you don't see the faults, but if you'll accentuate the good, amen, people will rise to that. Lives have been crushed because people saw the failures and only hammered at the failures. Somebody told a man one time, a student at a theological school, the teacher had an honored guest in the class one day, and he pointed out one of the students, and he said, that boy is the stupidest student in the whole class. Boy, that stung. After the class, that honored guest, that honored man, sought out that student, and he said, don't pay any attention to that. He said, you just do the best you can. I have a set of commentaries in my office in there, written by Adam Clark. And he was the stupidest student in the class. But he went on to be recognized as one of the preeminent theologians of all time, because somebody believed in him. Amen. You be that one. That's an encourager. Be like a Barnabas. Amen. Don't look for people's faults. They're sometimes they're rather glaring. Amen. But look for the good. I heard a preacher one time, they said he can say something good about anybody. There was a guy that died in the town, and they thought, man, what in the world can he find good about him? So it was a big funeral. People came because they just wanted to hear what good he's going to say. And he said, my, he could whistle. Well, maybe nothing else, but he could whistle. Amen. And so find the good. Love finds the good. Amen. I remember Brother Urshan talking about his sweet old father, Brother Andrew Urshan, and he'd tell him, he'd say, Nathan, he said, you're a good boy. He said, but there's room for improvement. There's room for improvement. Amen. Bible college, Sharia, and say, what about this boy, Dad? And I'd say, he's a good boy, but he's got some growing up to do. In other words, I could see a few things that he need to work on. Amen. And I think the Lord looks down and he says, Johnny Grissom, you're a good boy, but you got some growing up to do. You've got some things you could improve on a little bit. Amen. So love looks for that. It believes all things. It looks for the good things. And it motivates the good things. Amen. And then he said, love hopes in all things. It's always hopeful. Never gives up. Never gives up. Thank God for love that never gives up. Amen. It always holds on and just keeps on hoping. Keeps on hoping. Amen. And I've witnessed that in life. I've watched it, praise God. I've watched wives that would come to service after service and request prayer for their husband or for a loved one. And then people think, well, you know, that's good, that's good. Thank you, sister. I'm glad you got that kind of hope. But you know what? I've also watched them come and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost because somebody didn't give up hope. When other people gave up, they didn't give up and they didn't give in. They just kept on hoping even against hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know of one lady that prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and her husband would get the Holy Ghost, and he didn't get the Holy Ghost, and he got sick, and he was in the hospital, and he fell into a coma. Amen. And others were saying, well, looks like even God can't help him now. Amen. But she kept hoping, and she kept praying, and she kept believing. And one day she came in, his eyes were open. Amen. And he looked up and he recognized her, and he began to weep and he began to pray and he started speaking in tongues. And that was the last words he ever said. Amen. He slipped off into eternity, speaking in other tongues. Amen. I got to have somehow believe that God looked down and saw that woman's love and her faith and her hope that would not give up. Amen. That's what love does. Don't quit. Love doesn't have the heart of a quitter. It just keeps on hoping. Amen. And he said, love endures all. Just perseveres. Pushes through. Amen. Pushes through. Boy, we need that today. We need that today. Amen. So many people, you know, they get married and they just throw in the towel so easily and so quickly. Amen. And instead of persevering, pushing through some things. Amen. Making it through some things. Amen. So it's important that you just stay with it. Amen. Praise God. And he said, love never fails. Never fails. Amen. There is a love that you can count on. There's a love that you can count on. Amen. And that's the love of God. And that's the kind of love we're supposed to have as Christians. We're supposed to have the kind of love that people can count on. People that have sat on these pews and have gone away from God for whatever reason, they have every right that when they come back here, that we'll love them just like you did before they left here. People that come in here with addictions and problems and difficulties in their life, they have every right to expect that when they walk through those doors, that we will embrace them and love them in spite of the things that are going on in their lives. Because that's the kind of love Christians are supposed to have. Amen. I love the story that Brother Martin tells. You know, he'd been out of the church for a long time, and his wife had never been in a Pentecostal church like this. And he said, well, he said, you know, when they really see us, you know, we're going to get some weird looks and stuff. Because, you know, the beard and the whole thing, you know, and all going on. You know, worldly get up and dress. And when they see how we really are. But he came, and guess what? They loved him. And they loved her. Amen. And every time he'd say, well, you just wait for this. And then that would happen. And it didn't happen. Amen. Praise God. That's the way it's got to be, folks. That's the way it's got to be. Amen. We just got to let folks feel that and see that. You can't fake it, by the way. So you can't fake that kind of love. It's either there or it's not. Amen. You can't put it on and take it off like some kind of a garment. It's going to be there. Amen. Because this kind of love, it never fails. Never fails. It loves all the way to the end. Amen. It's the kind of love that Jesus could hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's the kind of love that would cause Stephen to look in the face of the horrible violence that was being perpetrated against him as they crushed his life out with stones and say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about here tonight. It never fails. It just goes on. And it keeps loving regardless of what anybody else does. Amen. Nobody can resist that kind of love. Amen. Paul couldn't, could he? The Bible says that Stephen, when he was stoned, that Saul held the coats of the men that killed him. But you know what he could never forget was the love of Stephen. How he could look at those vile men and they beat the life out of him and say, Father, and his face just glowing with the Holy Ghost and love pouring out of his heart and out of every pore. And he never forgot that. He couldn't get away from it. Amen. Oh, God, never let it be said about us that people came and they didn't feel loved here. Amen. They didn't feel loved here. Amen. I think that would be the greatest insult that could ever be hurled against the church. Amen. There's a lot of things we can't do. We don't have a lot of money around here, in case you hadn't noticed. Amen. So we can't compete on that level. I mean, I wish we could feed everybody in Athens, but we can't do that right now. Amen. I wish we had 10 buses on our parking lot, but we can't do that. I wish we could. I get calls all the time. People want me to pay their electric bill and their rent and all kinds of stuff. And I got to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you with that. But there's one thing we can do. We can excel in the love of God. Hallelujah. We can let people know that Jesus loves you, and I have the love of God in my heart, and I love you too. Amen. That's where we will excel. That's where we will excel. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what we've got to do. Amen. That's the love I'm talking about. I read an article many years ago. There was a woman, or a baby, I should say, girl, born September the 6th of 1975. At the University of Tennessee Memorial Research Center and Hospital in Knoxville. She was born without a face. She had no eyes or nose or mouth, just a ragged open for breathing and feeding. She was healthy and she had curly brown hair, normal in every respect, but she didn't have a face. Her mother was just a little 18-year-old girl, and she tried, but she couldn't handle it. She gave up. Thelman Ray Perkins accepted the responsibility. So they took the child and began to raise the little child and began to teach her, and 16 months old, 21 months, she's walking. After 12 operations at 6.5 years old, she had a little more normal appearance with many more surgeries to come. She finally attained a vocabulary of 250 words. She's blind but independent. They worked on her until they finally got some kind of a face. It was not an attractive face as much as others could give. But her parents loved her. These adoptive parents adopted a baby that nobody else wanted. Loved her. And take her out in public, and people would look, and their gaze would be filled with shame, and they'd get embarrassed. Somebody would say, "Who is that monster?" They'd smile and say, "Well, that's Alice." Organizations stepped in to help with the crushing medical bills. Surgeons kept working until she kind of had a special face. But you know what? What the surgeons couldn't give, and what organizations couldn't give, and what nobody else could give, the Perkins gave. They gave her their name, and they gave her their love. And it made all the difference. Amen. Jesus came to us when we didn't have much. And he gave us his name. And he gave us his love. Amen. And he's been loving us ever since. Amen. Sometimes I'm sure it hadn't been easy. But he's been loving us ever since. Amen. He's put up with us sometimes. Put up a lot of things with some of us. Amen. But God's been good. He just kept on loving. He just kept on loving. Just kept on loving. Amen. Folks, tonight, this is not an easy way. Paul said it's the more excellent way. But it's not easy to love like this. But I want you to take this challenge tonight. I want you to every now and then, I want you to go back and read this chapter. Would you do that? And when you read it, don't just read it as just, I'm just reading the Bible, but you read it with some understanding and some depth and say, Jesus, help me to love like this. Help me to love like this. Help me to get over making excuses. Help me not to just go on and say, well, nobody else is doing it. But help me make up my mind and determine in my heart that I'm going to love like this. I'm going to love like this. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. It'll be the greatest thing that you can do for your Christian life, for your Lord, and for your church, is to learn to love like this. If we can just learn to love like this. Now, it's going to call for some big changes in our lives. Amen. And it's going to be a long journey if we love like this. And some people are not going to understand the changes in you if you determine to love like this. Some people that have known the way you were, and now they see the way you're struggling to be. You might even lose some friends over it. Are they friends? Oh, you can love them. Amen. But they may not love you back. But let's read this. Let's determine. That's the way Jesus loves me. And God, help me to love other people like this. Amen. It's a more excellent way. Praise God. Let's pray together tonight, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I don't deserve it. I could never, ever earn it. And I'm so indebted to you tonight because of the way that you love me. And if there were any way that I could even a portion repay, it can only be that I love others like you love me. So help me tonight. Help me to be aware of it. Quicken to my conscience and my thoughts. Amen. As I get up in the morning, O Lord, and start my day, let me be conscious that I need and I want to love like Jesus loves. Help me to guard my words from unkindness and from barbs and from stings and from insult and from injury and from pride and from boastfulness. Help me, Lord Jesus, just to make up my mind to be very cautious and very careful in the way that I love and the way that I live. Teach me. Teach me. The Bible said that I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The seed is already there. You've already planted it deep within me. When I got the Holy Ghost, you put that love inside of me. But I'm still covered, God, with this old carnal flesh. And I still need your help that it doesn't get smothered and I don't find myself giving in to feelings and thoughts and actions that I shouldn't. Amen. Help me to be kind and patient and generous and long-suffering and forgiving. Everything just like you are. I need you. Oh, how 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 I need you. Amen. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly toil through the heat and the cold, and I seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I'm willingly toil through the heat and the cold, and I seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. Could you sing it with me to the Lord tonight? Oh, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I'll seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. One more time, amen. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I willingly toil through the heat and the cold, and I'll seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come, oh yes, when the pearly gates unfold. Amen, amen, amen. Help me, Lord Jesus, to love you like you love me. And help me to love others like you love me. Help me to love the lost like you love the lost. Amen. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be filled with the more excellent way, the love of God. Let that be my motive in life. Let that be what drives me, what motivates me, what keeps me, just the love of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What a challenge. But by the grace of God, we can do it, folks. We can do it. He wants us to. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. I'll see those of you that can be at Bible school tomorrow night. If you can't, then I'll see you, Lord willing, Sunday morning. Praise God. But let's love Jesus with all of our heart tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.